Everything that I want to tell you this evening comes from Psalm 67. This is the psalm that we read earlier on page 514, Psalm 67. So we're going to stay there for the rest of our time. Might mention a couple of other verses, but mainly we'll be staying in Psalm 67. So it might be helpful for you to have that open so you can see that what I'm saying is from the Word of God, not just my own thoughts, but indeed what God is saying to us in this psalm. If I started off with a question for you this evening, do you want God to bless you? You'd probably look at me a bit blankly like you are and say, well, obviously I want God to bless me. Who wouldn't want God to bless them? Is there anybody in the world who doesn't want God to bless them? Surely that's basic to all of our prayers. Even a very, very young child who wants to pray starts off with asking God to bless them and to bless their family. You might not know what they mean by bless, but surely we all want God to bless us as individuals. And then if I said, well, do you want God to bless the church here? And of course you'd answer, well, of course we do. That's why we're here tonight. We do want God to bless the church. It's quite obvious. That's why we pray that God would bless us. And then if I was to ask another question, why do you want God to bless you? And that's a little bit harder to answer, isn't it? Why do you want God to bless you? Well, this psalm begins with this prayer. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That adds a little bit more to it, doesn't it? Cause his face to shine upon us. That's a lovely picture, isn't it? It's the picture of someone smiling. You can't have a face that's shining without some sort of happiness. And sometimes we say, don't we, that someone was glowing. And we talk about brides glowing. What do we mean? Well, the happiness. You can see it on their faces. And I guess that's what is meant here, that God shines upon us, the light of his face, his smile, that God is favourable towards us. And so that's how the psalm begins. But there's a reason. This psalm begins with asking God for his blessing, but it moves on from there. The next verse is really important. That. You see, there's a reason. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That. Now, here's the reason. Here's the reason why the man who wrote the psalm wanted God to bless his people, to bless the church in the Old Testament. That. Your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. In other words, here's a psalm that's saying, Lord, will you bless us so that many other people might start to praise you, so that all the nations of the world might praise you? In fact, that's how he goes on. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So there is a reason. And this psalm is reminding us that God's blessings are never to be held on to selfishly. And that when God blesses us, there's always a further purpose in his blessings. Let me tell you three facts about the psalms before we move on. So we'll pause for a moment. Three facts about all the psalms. The first one is this. All the psalms are prayers. Now, we don't always recognize that, but they are all speaking to God. The book of Psalms in the Bible is unique because it's the only book in the Bible where we speak to God and he speaks to us at exactly the same time. So these are prayers. This is someone praying, but at the same time, it's God's word to us so we can listen to what God has to teach us in the Psalms. They're all prayers. Now, we read the Lord's Prayer. Now, every one of the Psalms fits in some way into each line of the Lord's Prayer. So some of the Psalms would fit into that first line of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is really saying, may God be praised. And there's a whole lot of Psalms that praise God. And then there are other Psalms that say, sorry, forgive us our trespasses. Psalm 51 is a great psalm for saying sorry. And there are many other psalms that say the same thing. And they fit into that line, forgive us our sins. So which line would this psalm fit into? Well, I want to suggest to you it fits into the second line, your kingdom come. That's what this psalm is all about. It's asking God, your kingdom come. A kingdom is a people living in a particular place with someone as their ruler, their king, or in our case, queen. So the kingdom of God is God's kingdom. God's people are increasing all the time because every single day, including today, there will be people who got up this morning and they were not in the kingdom of God. They weren't part of God's kingdom. They weren't his people. They didn't know Jesus as king. But by the time they go to bed tonight, Jesus will be their king. And when we say your kingdom come, that's what we mean. We want God to increase his kingdom so that more and more people come to know Jesus as king and praise him and live with him as king. So that's what this psalm is all about. It's about your kingdom come. All of the psalms are prayers. Second fact about all psalms are about Jesus. Now, we might not see him straight away, and you might not even have noticed him in the psalm here, but he's there. He is there, because he's everywhere in the psalms. We know that because Jesus himself, when he rose from the dead, he met two people on the way to a village called Emmaus, and he spoke to them, and he taught them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. Now, at that time, there wasn't a New Testament. There was only an Old Testament, because the New Testament was written after Jesus' resurrection. So in the Old Testament, Jesus showed them everything that was written about him. And then that same night, the disciples were together in an upper room in Jerusalem, and Jesus appeared, and he opened their minds that they might understand everything that was said in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms about him. So we know that the Psalms are about Jesus. So Jesus is here in this psalm. We'll find him there. It's not too difficult to spot him once you look for him. And the third thing about all psalms is that all psalms are poems. So they've been very carefully put together. Some poems seem to just be thrown together, don't they, today? But the best poems have a very clear structure to them. And this psalm has a very clear structure. You notice that because there are two verses that are exactly the same. Verse 3 and verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. That's verse 3. But it comes again in verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. This psalm has a very definite structure. In order to understand it, I need to take you on a little train journey that I used to make when I went to work every day. Because there was a time when I did have a proper job and not just a pastor of a church. As my son says to me occasionally, did you ever really have a proper job? Well, I did. And this proper job involved me getting on a train and going down a few stops. So imagine that you get on this. I'll tell you, it's Essex. It's lovely. Go there one day and you'll see how lovely Essex is. Wales is beautiful. Essex is quite nice as well. But in Essex, there's a little place called Thorpe Lisoken. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? And it is. Thorpe Lisoken. Not in France, but it's in Essex. And that's where I used to get the train. So we get on the train at Thorpe Lisoken. Now, a train is always heading in a direction. It's always going somewhere. It's always moving towards somewhere. It's moving towards its terminus. So the train, and the title will always be at the station, this is a train to, and in this case it's a train to Walton-on-the-Naze. That sounds exotic as well, doesn't it? Now, Walton-on-the-Naze means Walton-on-the-Nose, because naze means nose, and it's a little promontory of land that I suppose somebody at one time thought looked a bit like a nose, and so they called the place Walton, and they said it's Walton-on-the-Nose, on the Naze. So here we are on the train, and we're leaving from Thorpe Le Soken. Now, Thorpe Le Soken is verse 1. Just remember that. Thorpe Le Soken is verse 1. But we're heading down the line to the terminus. We're moving somewhere. We're going somewhere where we want to go. So we go down the line. The next station along the line that I used to go on is a place called Kirby Cross. Kirby Cross, not a lot there really, but it's a station anyway. And then you move on to the next station. Kirby Cross is verse 2. Right? The next station is called Frinton-on-Sea. That's really nice, Frinton-on-Sea. That's worth visiting because there's a beautiful beach there. Not quite as nice as Aberavon Beach, but it is nice. It's got shingle, you see. Don't like shingle beaches. We've got lovely sand at Aberavon, haven't we? Well, if you don't know, you should do. Come and visit Aberavon Beach because it's beautiful. So there's Frinton-on-Sea. That's verse 3. And then we arrive at the terminus. Verse 4. Now, when we used to arrive at Walton-on-the-Naze, the train waited there for a little bit longer because that's where it was going. And it waited there while the driver got out the back of the train and he walked all along the platform and then he got in the engine at the front. So we had to wait there just a little bit longer. We had waited there for 12 minutes. Now, verse 4 is the terminus of this psalm. That's where we're heading. We stay there a little bit longer because this is what the psalm writer wants you to remember. This is what he wants you to know. This is his main point, you see. This is Walton-on-the-Naze. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. That's what he wants you to know. That's where Jesus is. Is in that verse. Because what is that verse telling us? We stay there just a little bit longer, just so we can pause and think about this great truth. What is this truth? Jesus is judge and Jesus is king. That's what this verse is telling you. Jesus is judge and Jesus is king. Read it again. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern or rule the nations on earth. Jesus is judge. There is a day coming when you and I and everybody in the world, but let's not worry about everybody in the world, you and I will be judged. And who's the judge? Jesus. Jesus is the judge. You say, well, surely God is the judge. Yeah, Jesus is God. He is God the Son. And God has appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness through the man he has appointed. Yeah, that's Jesus. And he gave proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. That's how we know that Jesus is going to be judged one day, because God has raised him from the dead. And he is alive. He has been given all power and authority. And he is going to be the judge of everyone one day. Now, if we don't know Jesus, that should worry us. Because he is going to be our judge. He's going to judge our lives one day. But he is also king. That's also what verse 4 says. And govern the nations on earth. Jesus is king. God has appointed him to be the king over all. He is the eternal king. Kings and queens come and go, don't they? Sometimes they abdicate, as we saw recently in one of those countries in Europe. And our queen has gone on for a long time, but there'll be a day when our queen will have to give way. Either she will step down or the Lord will take her and then someone else will become the ruler. But Jesus is always king. He's always king. He was king when he was hanging on the cross. He didn't look much like a king then, did he? Except that he did have a crown of thorns on his head. And before they put him on the cross, they dressed him up like a king because they were mocking him. Mocking him. You think you're a king? We'll show you. That's what they were saying. We'll dress you up to look like a king. And then they paraded him in front of everybody with this purple robe and this crown of thorns and this staff, this reed in his hand. And they laughed at him. But as he was hanging on the tree, on the cross, as he's hanging there, one of the men hanging next to him recognized that he was king and treated him like a king. He said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." There was a man who recognized that even though Jesus was bleeding, weak, in terrible pain, and hanging on the cross, that man still realized that Jesus is king. And so he asked Jesus to be his king. And that's the crucial thing. He asked Jesus to be his king. And if Jesus is your king, and if you come under his authority, and if you submit to him, and he is a ruler of your life, then there is no fear for him being your judge, is there? So Jesus is judge, and Jesus is king. So we've stayed at that station a little bit longer, haven't we? Because that's the most important thing for you and I to grasp from this psalm. Jesus is judge and Jesus is king. But now our driver has come from one end to the other end of the train, and we're on our way back now. And so we're coming back along all the same stations. So you might have forgotten the order, but we come from Walton-on-the-Naze, and the next station back is Frinton-on-Sea with that lovely shingle beach. Well, that's verse 5 again, you see. Exactly the same station as verse 3. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We're back at the same station, Frinton-on-Sea. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We don't stay there very long, and we go on to the next station, Kirby Cross. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Now that's the same station as verse 2, but we're seeing it from a different side. Verse 2 is expressing the knowledge that the whole world will know the salvation of God. And verse 6 is saying, yes, the whole world will know the salvation of God, and there'll be a wonderful harvest of souls, and God will bless us. And then verse 7, we've arrived back where we started in Thorpe Less Oaken. But again, we're on the other side of the train. We're looking at it from the other side. Verse 1, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Well, that was a prayer. Verse 7 is a promise. The prayer is matched by the promise. We ask God to bless us, and God says, yes, I will bless you. You will be blessed. So what is it that we are to learn from this psalm? What is it that God wants us to take away tonight? Well, the first thing is this. He wants you to know that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is judge and is king. When I was a young person coming along to church, when I was a pretty young teenager, we used to sing lots of songs and hymns, and some of them stuck in my mind. Not all of them, but some of them stuck because they really spoke to me. And there was one in particular that we sang. It had a chorus. The chorus was this: a man died, nails in his hands and his feet, and a sword in his side. It was all about Jesus' death. And then the last verse said this, and it was the last verse that really kept with me all these years. I still remember it now, and it's a long time since I was a young teenager. But this is what it said: own him as your captain. Your lips with his praises shall ring, for one day you must meet him as either your judge or your king. And that really struck me. One day I'm going to meet Jesus. One day you will meet Jesus. But when you meet him, he's either going to be your judge or your king. And the awful thing is, if you meet Jesus as judge, what that means is that you will be condemned. Because you don't know him as your saviour. You don't know him as a person who has taken your sins away and given you forgiveness and grace. You haven't known the love of God in your life through knowing Jesus. You're standing there and you've got no one by your side to support you. You're on your own and your whole life is there before you. And Jesus as judge will say, well, you haven't lived your life to meet the standard that God demands. And he'll be your judge on that day. And we know the words that he will use because Jesus told the story of the sheep and the goats. And he said that at the end of the time, then the king will be there on the throne. He's talking about himself, Jesus. And he will then divide all of humanity into the sheep and the goats. And the sheep are told, well, come and enjoy all the good things. Come and enjoy the happiness and of your master. But the goats will be told, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's an awesome and terrible thing. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and King, then you will only meet him as your judge. And those words, depart from me, for I never knew you, means that you will go into an eternity in hell and you will never know the love of God. But today is a day when we may know Jesus as King. Today is a day when we might come and bow the knee to him and we might seek him and we might know him as Savior and Lord to forgive our sins. And that's why this psalm is here. And that the nations can be glad and sing for joy because of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the main thing that we are to know. But what is the other thing we're to know? We're to know this, that when God blesses us, it's not just for us. It's for others. It's for all the nations of the world. We should never pray that God will simply bless me without seeking to be a blessing to others. We must never ask that God would bless our church just so that our church might prosper. We should ask for God's blessing so that that blessing can overflow to others around here where you're living, so that others might know. I know that's what your heart is, that you seek God in prayer so that you might then make him known to those who live around you here. And that's exactly what this psalm is saying. God be merciful and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. You see, we are to ask for God's blessing so that then others might come into the great blessings of God as well. We are blessed, says Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher of the 1800s. We are blessed for the sake of others as well as ourselves. A little while ago, I was sat in someone's conservatory looking out on their beautiful garden. And they love the birds in their garden, lots of birds. And all sorts of different birds were there. And they've got bird feeders. And I was fascinated by this one particular bird feeder because it was specially designed for the very small birds. So the little blue tits were there. And they got through this metal cage and they were able then to get to the central tube where the peanuts were. And there were other birds in the garden as well. There were seagulls there, there were pigeons, and there were blackbirds. And none of these bigger birds could get through the frame. They were just too big. But what I hadn't noticed before was that these little blue tits are very messy eaters. So as they are pecking away at these peanuts, loads of them are going out everywhere, all over the grass. And they just sort of seemed to be spraying out everywhere. But as they did that, so the blackbirds and the pigeons come underneath the feeder and they were eating everything that was being spread out. And it was a wonderful picture to me of this psalm, because although the little birds were feeding and receiving the blessing of God, they were sharing it with the others. It was going outside their own little nice feeding area, and it was being spread out for others so that others could also come and enjoy those blessings. And that to me is a great picture of what this psalm is saying. God be merciful and bless us, that your way may be known on earth. Now here's the last thing How do you know whether Jesus is your king? That's an important question, isn't it? How do you know that Jesus is your king? How can you be sure? Well, there's many ways. The Bible gives us many ways. But there's one way in this psalm. And it's this. Are you a person who praises God? Because that's the evidence, isn't it? Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Once you know the blessing of God, once you come to know Jesus as your Saviour, then guaranteed there's one thing that you will want to do. You will want to praise Him. You will want to sing to Him. You might not be a very good singer, but that doesn't matter. It's not an audition. It's not the X Factor. It's coming together with God's people to just join with them in just singing the praises of Jesus. But it's not just singing. Your whole life is lived to praise Him. Your whole life. You get up tomorrow morning and you say, oh, it's Monday. It's not Sunday. I don't know how you felt when you got up this morning. But as you get up on a Sunday morning, sometimes you think, oh, wonderful, I've got a whole day. I haven't got to work. And most of us don't have to work on the Lord's Day. And I can join God's people and I can sing His praises. And it's going to be so good to listen to the Bible. It's going to be great to talk with others. And we can praise God. What a great day. Well, are you going to feel the same tomorrow? Because you should. Because tomorrow is a day to praise God as well. But not in the same way. You may be able to sing. That's a great thing to be able to do. But is your life going to praise Him? Is your life going to be saying to other people, Jesus is my King, and I love Him, and I live for Him. He's my Saviour, and everything I do is done for Him. No, you don't have to say that to people, but you can show it, can't you? You can show it. And then when people say to you, well, what did you do over the weekend? Because they do that, don't they? What did you do over the weekend? Did you have a good weekend? That's often their question, isn't it, on a Monday morning. Did you have a good weekend? And you can say to them, oh, I had a great weekend. Do you know, yesterday we were in church and we sang some great hymns. And we listened to the Bible, actually. We were listening to the Bible about Jesus. And, you know, it's just made me think a bit more about Jesus, my Lord and my King. That's praising Him as well, isn't it? And, you know, it's praising God also when you serve other people and when you're having to help others and look after others, perhaps, and to do so without grumbling and without bitterness, and to do so with an eye to please the Lord. That's all praise. And what we're saying is, wouldn't it be wonderful if more and more and more people just come to know Jesus like that, to live their lives for His praise. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So there it is. There's one test. There are many in the Bible, but there's one test. Do you know Jesus as your King? Well, are you a praising person? Are you one who lives for Jesus? Are you still living for yourself, trying to work it all out and saying, well, I'll do it my way, as the hymn goes. Not the hymn, is it? It's the song. I did it my way. Well, it's a terrible thing. Get to the end of your life and say, well, I did it all my way. Do it your way. You're going to mess it up. Do it His way. And it's going to be a life worth living, because He is a Lord who's worth loving. Well, I trust then that as we look at this hymn, this psalm, and we see Jesus as judge and Jesus as King, that He will also be one whom we know. We know as our Saviour. We've come to Him and we've asked Him that He might forgive our sins, receive us, change our lives, and that we live the rest of our lives for Him. May God bless His word to our hearts.